Good morning, Chelvest and Caldergarten, Chelston Rise. It's Thursday, the 21st of May, and this is Adrian Dale with the Daily Podcast. Well, feedback from yesterday's podcast came in very quickly indeed. We had three Lady H's, Brenda, Wendy and Shirley, all called into question my date for the shop closing. But as soon as I said 1987, I knew I must be wrong, as we moved here then. Brenda moved here in 1989, and she remembers her kids meeting with friends on the green and buying sweets in the shop. Shirley moved here in 1993, and the shop was definitely open then. Wendy was even more specific. The shop closed in Easter 1994, just before Ben's first birthday. She used to help in the shop and used to sit Ben on the counter. So thank you all, ladies. I misread Mark's timeline. There was lots of other feedback. Adrian Jeffs remembers the conversation about play areas when his kids were small, and they've now left the village too. Tongue-in-cheek, he suggested that we should go the whole hog for a retirement village idea. Perhaps now is the time for a bowling green. Vanessa agreed, but she also wanted a couple of tennis courts and a croquet lawn. And so the suggestions came in, more outlandish each time. Of course, our Pete then chipped in. Let's go the whole nine yards, he said, and have a naturist reserve, just like the one near Risley. Had I heard this right? Apparently yes. The Blackthorn Sun Club is a centre for naturists in a wildlife preserve near Bourne End. Pete suggested that the area near the ford could be turned into a beach for nude bathing, so that residents could take a dip when they got too hot. Now, if you walk down Water Lane, you'll know that Chad and Steph keep a blackboard on which they note all the local wildlife sightings. And I suggested that they could then add a beached whale or two to the list if Pete's idea went ahead. Quick as a flash, Pete was back suggesting that he might also see great tits in the summer or even blue tits in the winter. Calm down, Pete. Charlie Dimmock was Monday's broadcast. More seriously, though, you might be forgiven for thinking that the parish council had abandoned children's facilities in favour of the active retired. Well, that's certainly not the case. We just needed to be more creative. In 2010, the housing at the former American Air Base was sold to William Pears Group, a London-based landlord. They had approached the parish council to see how we would react to them creating a community of rental accommodation in the parish. The parish council reacted favourably, as we were looking to find ways of bringing new, young families into affordable accommodation. We needed to broaden the mix of ages and backgrounds and occupations in the village. Mixed communities are more sustainable and vibrant than those with just one type of family. The parish council helped with the refurbishment plans and arranged to take on the street lighting once it was upgraded. We also saw an opportunity to take on the play area for use by the whole parish. We knew from the American days that it was rarely used locally, and we felt that a wider audience would get more use. We arranged for two car parking spaces for visiting residents, and the paperwork was drawn up to transfer the ownership to the council. The council paid for repairs and maintenance in preparation for the transfer. A few months in, and the William Pears Group began to receive inquiries from people who wanted to buy, not rent. When they had the houses valued, they realised they were sitting on a fortune. They asked the council if we minded a mixed community of ownership and rental properties. Actually, that suited us even better. Residents who own a property tend to stay longer, and that would provide the anchor for the community that we wanted. Sales took off, and the William Pears Group quickly changed tack. When we came to do the neighbourhood plan, they submitted proposals to build another 70 houses on the playing field. However, the council had also got its eye on that area for long-term acquisition, as well as the messy plot in the corner owned by the Allen family from the Earthlingborough caravan site. We wanted a sports field for use by the whole village. However, the William Pears Group then made the transfer of the play area to the council conditional on granting the 70-house proposal, and they sweetened the deal by saying they'd finance a footpath down to Caldecott. Well, the council just doesn't do deals like this. It's not ethical. So the proposal was put to a parish vote, and it was overwhelmingly rejected. The proposed housing would have changed the character of the Chelston Rise site and would have overwhelmed the emerging community. The Parish Council knows that our communities can expand at 1 to 2% per annum on average, while still retaining that friendly neighbourhood feel. Any faster than this and people become strangers. The neighbourhood plan at Chelston Rise specifies a maximum of 9 new houses between 2016 and 2031, with development preferably not starting until 2021. And this is indeed what's happening. As a consequence of losing this battle, the William Pears Group sold the remaining houses, and they even terminated the leases of some long-term tenants. They then pulled out of the site. So the transfer of the play area and the footpath never happened. However, the long-term aspiration of the parish has to be something along these lines, including the reacquisition of the site in the corner. My hope would be that the Chelston Rise residents, who collectively own the estate, will join the parish council and will shape the development of Chelston Rise themselves. But as I said yesterday, over to you folks. I've got to cut some grass. Thank you.